How do people get started? Where do they get stuck? Does their family really follow along when they want to get organized? Wouldn't you love to peek behind the curtain and see how other people in the 100-day program are actually getting their home organized? Well, that's what we're going to be doing from now on the Wednesday new Organize 365 podcast. I would love to introduce you to your fellow Organize 365 members that are on this home organization journey with you. Let's see how they have gone from disorganized to organized. Samantha, I am so excited to have you on the Organize 365 podcast. The first memory I have of you being in the Organize 365 group, like I knew that you were in the 100-day program because you've been in there since almost the very, very beginning, was when you posted the picture of all of your Sunday baskets lined up, I think, in your, either your homeschool room or your family room for your kids, your seven kids. And I was like, I have got to learn from this woman how to be organized. That was my very first thought when I saw that picture, was like, how is she so organized?
I was really into color coding. So when I saw all the different Sunday baskets, I was really excited.
Oh my gosh. So, and that was, I mean, right after they came out, like for years, I've been like, oh, I am obsessed. I love big families. Like my dad was from a big family, like any TV show about a big family. Yes. I've watched every single episode. I'm just fascinated with it. I'm fascinated with people who homeschool. I have two kids. They went to private school. Now I am homeschooling one, but it's just not the same. So I'm just fascinated in general with you and your life. So I'm so excited to dive into your organizational journey.
Okay, I'm excited too.
Yay! So how many rounds have you actually gone through of the 100-day program?
Oh my gosh, you asked me this at Embrace and I was like, nine, I think? Is that how many there have been?
I think it is. Yeah. I think there have been 11. Okay. Were you there when it was still a mastermind thing?
I remember the 40-day. Like, I remember. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And it's hard for me to remember because I didn't, of course, do every round. There were some times when I would see the emails or know what was going on, but I just, my life was not, you know, in the place for it at that time. So I've probably gone through it maybe five or six times, like I'm in this.
Okay, and so like that's not 5 or 6 years because we do three rounds in a year. So like for the last 3 years, you've probably gone through it twice each year.
Yeah, that sounds about right, yeah.
And how did you even find me? Do you remember how you found me?
Yeah, it was a homemaking conference that was online. Jamie Balmay, I've heard you on her podcast too.
Yes.
And I love organizing. So the first, you know, I always look through and when I see anything on organizing or productivity, I click there first, which is kind of funny because I'm not really the most organized person, but I love it for some reason.
Yeah, well, okay, let's just be clear. There is no way you can have seven children and homeschool and still be on this podcast interview with me if you are not organized. So that you are organized. Yeah. Yes. And Jamie has four kids and she homeschools. Yeah. And that was a great interview as well. And she and Jason work in their business together and do all these things together. And she says he is a little bit more organized than she is, but she definitely has organization tendencies as well.
Yeah. And I've always loved big families too, before I had one. And I think part of why I wanted one was because there'd be so much to organize.
Yes. It's like a real life jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah. Although it is exhausting sometimes. Sometimes you don't want to play with the puzzle.
Oh, but we would not want it any other way. You know, we're that way. So tell us about all the people who live in your home with you.
So we have seven kids. My husband, John, and I have seven kids. We had two birth children and five children through adoption, and we have a dog.
And how old are the kids? People are going to want to know.
My oldest is 15, and then I have a 14-year-old, a 13-year-old, and a 12-year-old. Then 10, 7, and 4.
And actually, I would say, like, I don't know if you would agree or not, but you are like in the sweet spot. Like, when is your youngest out of diapers?
Yes.
Okay, the youngest is out of diapers and the old one isn't driving yet, which may not sound like it's the sweet spot, but it's kind of like home base is still home base. Yeah. Everybody can communicate verbally to you. I mean, they have their own interests and passions and yada, yada, yada. But for the most part, family dinner, they're all there. If you plan a family event, they're all there. They're not like off running on their own yet.
Yeah. true. It's true. And it's nice. I've heard people say that they didn't want a big spread of ages between their kids, but mm-hmm. the relationships between my big kids and my little kids is really great. And the help that I get from my older kids. So, yeah, so it's not bad.
So nice. Okay. So why, like you said, you're always interested in organizing and you clicked on it when you were on the Jamie Bell MA thing, but why did you decide to do the 100 days? Why did you decide to really do a program? Because you are kind of organizationally inclined.
Yeah, but I'm distracted a lot. And especially having a lot of kids, I'm distracted a lot. So I need, if I have something popping up in my email box or a little reminder, and I feel like I have a personal relationship with you since I watch your Instagram and everything. So it gives them a kind of accountability. You know, I'm an obliger. So I like that Facebook group.
When I've done the homeschooling conference, we do the Cincinnati Homeschool Conference each year, and I love talking to all the homeschool families. And often, I mean, you have 7 kids that you are homeschooling and you have to be organized for that. And a lot of the moms will come up to me and they will be like, oh my gosh, I need to get organized, but I need to spend money on curriculum or this, that, or the other thing. Yeah. And one of the things you and I have talked about and that I've noticed in homeschooling is that you have to almost put your oxygen mask on yourself. Like you have to get yourself organized first in order to organize all the kids in homeschooling. And also what I usually say at the homeschool convention is, how about if this is the class for you? Like, so you're coordinating for 7 kids, everything that they're going to do every day, but I'm coordinating for you what you're going to do for organizing instead of figuring it out for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And I think in the past, before I started your program and really focused on organizing, I was just kind of responding. And it makes such a difference if you have a plan, even if things don't go by, you know, according to plan, at least you have kind of a focus. Where are you going? What are you trying to get accomplished today? And that's made a huge difference in just, you know, mommy being nice, first of all.
Do you remember when you started? If you started like in the spring or fall or winter round?
I started in the summer. I do a lot of my organizing in the summer because I homeschool the other parts of the year. And I feel like I hadn't been to my kids' bedrooms in forever. I didn't even know what was going on up there. So, you know, with trepidation, I made my way up and I turned on, and I was kind of, I don't think I was following along a program, but I was absorbing all of your ideas and just listening to that as I was, you know, getting rid of things that they didn't need and sorting things into like groups and also trying to figure out, I mean, we have 7 kids in 4 bedrooms. So trying to figure out how to kind of,
yeah,
the beds and the stuff and, you know, the clothes, everything.
And are you doing the kids program with your kids?
Yes. Well, one of my kids is really into it, Ellie.
Okay.
And she has gone through it. So she really likes it. But we're kind of on hold because we're in the process of moving to a new house.
That's right.
And I think it's going to be great for them to start. And a lot of them will have their own rooms for the first time. So I think it'll be really nice for them to kind of, you know, follow along at that point as they're moving their things in and really setting up where they want everything to go.
So, okay, of the 7 kids, how many kid bedrooms will you have in the new house?
Well, everyone will have their own room except 2 of them will share.
Okay.
And, you know, one is like the living room that's supposed to be off the master bedroom, but we're making that into a bedroom.
Yes, right.
So most of them will have their own room. And the 2 they're sharing, it's a really huge space on the 3rd floor. So they can kind of make their own.
Oh my gosh, awesome.
I know, really excited.
Yeah, so they are all moving into their own little apartments.
Yeah, exactly.
Do they get to like make any decorating decisions, like colors of paint or anything?
Yeah, especially my
within reason
15-year-old. She really has her opinions on how things should be. So she's getting that done right as we move in. And the other ones, well, we might have to wait. But I'm not picky about how they decorate their bedrooms. So yeah, they're very excited about having their own space for the first time. And in the past, we've had a family closet. You know, I kept all the clothes downstairs in our basement. It's a finished basement, but next to the laundry room, and I put all the clothes in there and they'd come and get their clothes and take them away. And we also had a laundry chute in this house that would, so they could throw all their laundry down from one bathroom up here. But in the new house with everyone, they're going to have their own bathrooms or sharing with one other person, but there are going to be many more bathrooms. And it's going to have to be a new system. We're going to have to practice that with, you know, putting clothes in the hamper and then retrieving your clothes and putting them in your own closet. And a lot of things in the kids program were talking about clothing, and it was a little bit hard for my kids because they shared one huge closet. But now I think it'll really be fun for them.
And I love that idea of having like a family closet that's right off of the laundry room. I've seen that work really, really well, especially in large families with kids that are younger. Are you going to have more than one laundry room in the new house?
There's one laundry room, but right now we do have two washers and two dryers, and that is okay. The best.
Yeah. Your house that you are moving into sounds like the one that my dream house that I would love to have. Like, I would love Joey and Abby to have a bedroom and a bathroom and then their own bathrooms and then a shared laundry room. And then Greg and I have totally separate, like, basically it's like literally two apartments and a condo shared in one side of a house. And I would guess that as we move forward and people are able to make more decisions in their houses, that kind of a house, I know a lot of people my age with kids my age would love to have a house like that, where the kids really do have like a bathroom for every two bedrooms or individual, more bathrooms, like just more condo style living, just conglomerated together into a house.
And I'm excited because it will foster more independence and them learning some of these habits because they just will have to. Right now it's kind of all together. And so it's easy for me to do a lot more than, you know, I'd like to. And it's going to be a good time to kind of move them on to those habits and really work on just laundry for now.
I love it. I love it. I cannot wait to follow along on your story. Okay. So when you were doing the 100-day program and getting organized, when was the first time that you actually noticed something was organized that wasn't organized before?
Yeah, it was the kitchen. And I guess I've done the kitchen many times because when I start the program, I'm all gung-ho, and that's the first thing we do. But I thought it wouldn't stay that way because it's just used by so many people. We even have a babysitter who helps me out, and she's cooking and putting things away in there. So I just thought it was just going to become a disaster. But it really, I think going through the zones and really figuring out what space makes sense, that really helped because it was kind of a logical place to put things. Whereas before I hadn't really thought it through. I just shoved things wherever they would fit.
Then have you noticed anything that happened since you started the journey that was of organization that you didn't expect, that wasn't even organization related from doing the program?
Yeah. I mean, I think your whole mentality of not wanting perfection. I had thought that an organized person would be a perfectionist, and I wanted to be a perfectionist too. but I'm just not really that type. I'm more creative, and I don't know. I don't really care about the details as much as the big picture. So I was always frustrated because I would follow along with programs, and then my things would never like quite look a certain way, or I wasn't following things to a T. And so I've just really loved following your message that you can kind of become a more organized version of yourself, you know, and still be yourself. Mm-hmm. And I was just shocked hearing about when you first started talking about yourself not being a detail person. I'm like, yes, who can be but she's so organized. How can this be?
Yes, people are still surprised about it. And now it's just a joke. I'm like, I don't know. If you want to know the actual correct date and time of something, you might as well email and talk to Pat or Michelle. Or if you're in the Certified Organizer program, you should email Emily. Like, because I will say a different date and time every time I tell you about something, but I have an idea of where we're going and what we're talking about. Yeah. So yeah, nobody is perfect. Nobody has everything figured out. And honestly, even if you did achieve a perfect wall, a perfect room, a perfect space, you have 7 kids. How long do you think that would last?
Yeah. And they're always changing. You know, just as I get the system down, you know, suddenly they're teenagers instead of, you know, middle school kids. Or like you said, the youngest one's out of diapers and we don't need that anymore. So it's always moving.
Yeah. And who wants to spend your extra hours every day making sure something looks perfect that's not going to last instead of spending the time with these 7 kids that you're molding into the next generation? I mean, that's your most important work.
Yeah, it's true. And I have a tendency to be more, I mean, my husband and I will always, he is just from a very, very neat family, and he's very neat and organized. He's like an engineer and just has that type of mentality. And And we always get into an argument, and I'm saying the kids, playing with the kids and the relationship, that's so much more important. And he's saying, but we need to, you know, provide for them and arrange things. And so it's trying to finding a balance between all of that, you know, because yeah. I used to, you know, I've seen the sign that people have up in their house that say like sticky floors equal happy kids or something.
Yes.
But you know, I bet they can be happy kids without a sticky floor. They can be happy without things in total disarray. And at a certain level, I think that things have gotten happier for the kids when things are more organized, especially because, I mean, this goes for my kids, but really for any kids. But, you know, five of my kids were adopted and they were not adopted as infants. So they had some kind of instability in their background. So just to have a stable, you know where things are when they're looking for them, know what's going to happen next on our calendar, that has made a big difference to them.
Yeah, it reduces anxiety. I mean, the number one thing I hear people talking about with their kids, my kids included, is the sense of anxiety. And I think it is the unpredictability of things. So the more you can, like, you're just calmer in your own house when it's organized, right? So that's going to translate to our kids as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So along the lines of those kids needing more stability, did you experience any unexpected events in the last 3 years in your organizational journey?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we had quite a year. My 15-year-old daughter was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. We got it just by chance. She was just having routine blood work done and found it. And then we suddenly had to go. The protocol is to go spend, you know, a few days in the hospital. And we learned all. And it's just a whole complete change of your life and how you think about everything she eats. And, you know, we're waking up in the night to check her blood sugar. But I'm happy to say she has kind of taken that over, and she's very responsible. And she, I mean, we keep an eye on it, of course, but she is in charge of managing that. But anyway, starting a medical binder for her has been wonderful, just to have it all together. One of my children is on the spectrum and has ADHD. And so there's always something. I mean, those parents who are listening who have kids who have learning differences or emotional issues, there's always something. I mean, there's always a call from the school or, you know, some emergency. So having his, a warrior mama binder set has been great for that. And just having that binder makes me feel so much more in control of a situation that's
That you're not in control of in any way, shape or form. Right. Like, yeah, I totally can relate to that. Like, but organization so often does give us tangible control over things that we are not really in control of.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
So I'm using your 10 steps to organization right now, and that's been great, making me feel a little more in control about this move with 7 kids. And we're moving the first week school is starting. We have 2 who go to a public school, and so the first week that I'm feeling like, okay, I have my color-coordinated boxes and my list and my Sunday basket for moving, and I'm feeling a little bit, you know, it helps me sleep at night.
Oh, good. Yes. This is the 10 Steps to Organize Move, which is a bonus inside of All Access.
Yeah.
And it's one of those, like, moving ebooks that is not... It's not stuff that you would read in any other like checklist that you would see online. Like one of the things I have in there is, which you're probably definitely doing, is to make ahead meals and freeze them in bags that can go in a crock pot. Yeah. So that when you actually move, you just turn on the crock pot and you dump in the frozen food in the morning. And by the time you're done and exhausted, you have like hot chili or something for your whole family to meet when you're done with pizza. So it's stuff like that.
Yeah. It's so important. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so what do you have more of now that you are organized? What do you have more of?
Well, I jokingly can tell you I have more Sunday baskets.
I know, let's talk about the Sunday baskets, because I told you that's the first thing I noticed. I mean, I knew who you were before you did the Sunday baskets, because you've been around for a while, but you have a lot of Sunday baskets. I want to know what's in all of the Sunday baskets.
Yeah, well, I had a Sunday basket before your product came out, so I had just like a wicker basket, and that has been great. Just keeping that as a place for kids that they know they can put papers for whatever activities they're in, where I can just throw mail for my Sunday, although I a lot of times do it on Monday. So I have a regular Sunday basket, which I use the way everyone else does. And then I have a Friday workbox that I use for my homeschooling, and I keep all my homeschool stuff organized in there. I teach at a co-op on Friday, so I keep that stuff in there. whatever we're doing, what programs the kids need to sign up for, online classes or tutors, all of that's organized. Yep. And then when you came out with all the different colors of the Sunday, that was just so fun because I have, my kids all have an assigned color, although now they're like, the older ones are like, ridiculous, mom, I'm not going to just, you know, buy things in red or whatever it is, but they do have their own color. And so I was like, I have to get them their own Sunday basket just to organize their own things. And so they're not always running to me and asking what is due and what they need to work on. And so they each have one and I do put things in there. Some of, especially my boys are not as good at remembering to go there. I have my almost 10-year-old Ellie is really into her Sunday basket though.
Start putting little gifts in there like once a month.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
And I'm like, wait a minute, there's a gift. And the boys will be running and diving over each other to try to get into their Sunday basket.
Like chips or, you know, a snack bar or something.
Were you the person that was like petitioning for a yellow Sunday basket?
Yes, exactly. Because one of my kids is color yellow, so.
I remember. So we actually had one manufactured because I get samples of everything. And it was the ugliest yellow you have ever seen in your life. I was like, that is not going to work. It wasn't like a sunny lemon yellow. It was, yeah. I don't even know how they picked that color. It was disgusting. I was like, sorry, Samantha, no yellow for you.
Well, that's okay. Cause you had two color blues. So he got the light blue and someone had the dark blue. So we were good.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So you definitely have more Sunday baskets. What do you have less of?
Well, less of that perfectionistic tendency I had mentioned before. And I've said that I love how you said, I'm not a perfectionist. I'm a woman of excellence. And I've said that before. Yes. People go, oh, that's great. I'm like, that's Lisa Woodruff, not me.
And I forgot I said that.
Oh yeah. You said that.
You remind me. Yeah.
It's great because I think that we tend to think that perfectionism is excellence, but it's not. And it really holds you back. And so many people have said to me, oh, I could never have 7 kids because, you know, I think they're imagining that I am some organizationally gifted person. I'm not. I just realize it's not going to be perfect and that's okay. You know, I'd rather have, for me personally, I'd rather have 7 kids and it not be perfect than 2 kids and maybe it be perfect. Although of course it's never perfect.
Let me just tell you, it will not. Yeah.
But just like accepting that and having less negative self-talk about how I wish I could be, you know, more on top of things and have, and I was a lot of beating up with myself of not training the kids the right way to do their chores. I still do a lot for them. And for just many reasons, it was so nice when you also mentioned how your kids don't, you know, do all of their chores.
Ever. Yeah.
Some of my kids have gotten better, but it's not great. And so things are going to get messy. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Mm-hmm.
And I think like as you were talking, I'm just thinking about that perfectionistic thing. Like all my years of parenting, I gave up perfectionism before I became a parent just because there are people in my family that are perfectionists. And I decided at a young age that I was not going to do that. I was not going to be a perfectionist. But it's almost like, are you a stay-at-home mom or are you a working mom? Like you have to choose one. It's not both. And so like you're either a perfectionist or you're not. So for a long time, I would say, well, I'm not a perfectionist and I'd be comfortable with that. But it's almost like, but you're settling. Like you're not an A player because you're not a perfectionist and you've decided to opt out of the game. You know, you get that. So when you replace it with, I'm not a perfectionist, I'm excellent. That'd be like saying, well, I'm not an engineer, so I'm nothing.
Right.
You're a doctor or you are a homeschooling mom or you're whatever you are. Like whatever you are, be what you are. You don't have to be what somebody else is. Yeah. So, yeah, I like that as well.
Yeah. And I think we're so scared often that we're not going to be perfect, that we do nothing. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'd rather try and fail and have it not be perfect than, you know, be afraid.
Yeah. And that's what you want your kids to do, right?
Yeah, exactly. And we're always telling them part of why we homeschool is because we didn't love in a lot of schools, private and public, that, you know, you get penalized for failing. And we really want them to know, no, like the more you fail, you know, the more times you figure out the right way to the answer to your question, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah.
So what's your next step right now in getting organized? The move, right?
Move, definitely the move. But I want to move on to that productivity that you're always talking about, because I feel like I'm constantly organizing the stuff and mm-hmm. then the paper. And I haven't quite moved on to my time. It's, you know, it's gotten my homeschool day, you know, which is kind of like my work, is very organized, even like in, you know, 20-minute, half hour increments. We're very organized and we basically stick to it. But then the rest of the day is kind of all over the place and I'm responding. And so I'm trying to figure out how to do that, especially because I'm really not a morning person. And again, most of the models that I've seen for, you know, being really productive are get up at 5:30 in the morning and start your day with yoga and then read a book and then, you know, no. And if I do get up that early, somebody hears me and they get up and I'm suddenly making a toast or, you know.
Oh my gosh, I know.
Yes, my daughter, I swear.
They hear us. So I don't know. I'm really trying to work on how to be more productive. And a lot of the tips, I also did a phone conference with you. I think it was you had announced that you weren't doing them anymore. So I quickly signed up. I had to grab one of those spots. And a lot of the ideas that you gave me in that were really great, including take a nap. Well, and,
yes. Yeah. I was like, you need to take more naps.
Yeah. But just in the ways to have certain things planned ahead of time, snacks for lunch and lunch for our homeschool days. And so I think I'm getting there little by little, but I really want to focus on it this year.
I love it. So what advice would you leave everyone with if someone's just thinking about getting started in the 100-day program or they're like, all right, fine, I'll do it. What advice would you give to them?
Yeah, I would say definitely jump in, but then don't try everything at once or don't get discouraged because there's a lot. And just focus on one thing at a time, whatever it is. And you've said this, you know, whatever you really need to do. Is it the binders? Is it your paper? Getting this, I guess the Sunday basket would be a great place to start. But even just saying, I'm going to do 1 week at a time through this 100-day organization and just, you know, look at the whole week, not every day. I think sometimes people get tripped up by, oh, I'm a day off or 3 days off. You know, just what the whole week is the kitchen. So let's get through those things and try to stay focused there. If I miss a few things, oh, well, look at it next time.
Get it next time. Yeah. I mean, it's a lifetime program. I clearly haven't gone anywhere. You've been around for at least 3 years. Like, we're all here to support each other and help each other. And so, yeah, just pick one thing and do it. Definitely start with the Sunday basket. And then pick one more thing. And your one more thing might be a couple weeks of the 100-day program, and then you rabbit trail over to a binder, and then you rabbit trail over to a workbox. And like, you're allowed to rabbit trail as long as you're organizing every day, you're making progress.
Yeah. And I've been, you know, following you for so long, and there's stuff I've not gone through. My email, I have thousands of emails. So like, you know, I think in the back of my mind, one day I'm going to go through that email organizing course. And you know, so it'll be there. And when I, you know, whatever is my priority, that's what I'm going to work on now.
Yeah. Well, Samantha, thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast.
This was so fun. Thank you, Lisa.
Are you loving these new podcasts? Oh my gosh. I could talk to you guys forever. And I love talking to you actually in person. If you have a story and you would love to share it on the podcast, just go to organize365.com/Wednesday to apply.